So here I am again at the lovely offices of Debenhams Ottaway, right in the heart of St Albans, talking to our legal experts today. And today is the turn of Nigel Drake. Now, he is a residential conveyancing partner. And we're going to be looking at, in a very different light today, at buying and selling conveyancing. And Nigel has the top tips for buying and selling. So we're going to start with buying. Nigel, over to you.
Hello there, Kerry. Thank you. Well, firstly, we're going to look at the top 10 from a sort of conveyancing aspect. So this aren't necessarily the top 10 from a moving, but from purely the conveyancing, which is the process which you go through when you are buying or selling a house, or indeed flat or bungalow. So residential property in short. Well, firstly, when buying, it sounds obvious, but the most important thing is to look at the funding. You know, how are you going to fund this purchase? If you have savings, well, that's great, but as long as they're readily available and you can draw them down in time to meet the various deadlines of the conveyancing process, that's great. But for most people, borrowing is the only way forward when buying a property. So going to see your chosen mortgage lender or a broker to help you source a mortgage is the way forward. And often it's best to do that right at the outset and get a mortgage agreed in principle. So when you find the property that you want to buy, you have confidence that you will have the wherewithal to go ahead with the purchase, and you'll be able to satisfy the seller and the selling agent that you have the funds, because when they're recommending you to their selling client, the selling agent will want to ascertain that you really do have the wherewithal to go ahead. So that's the top one. And do remember, when you are funding the purchase, particularly with a mortgage, at the point of exchange, which is when you are legally committed to buy and the seller is legally committed to sell, you will need to put down a 10% deposit. Now, that is a sum of money which you will not be able to use the mortgage money for, as it comes earlier in the process. The mortgage money itself will become available at the date of completion. So bear that in mind. So having a little funds available right at the outset is important.
That's definitely where the bank of mum and dad comes in St Albans, I'd say.
Often it does. It's been the case, we've seen year on year a greater increase of gifts from parents and grandparents to enable first-time buyers in particular to get on the first rung of the housing ladder. Many cases I've seen of parents actually raising money on their own family homes and or drawing down their savings and selling shares and to free up funds to help their children leave the family home.
Good old parents, what we do for our kids, eh? So tell us about top tip number two, Nigel.
Well, when you found the property that you want to buy, get a survey booked, and this will enable you to ensure the property has no hidden surprises. When you've viewed the property yourself, you've probably seen the obvious, but it's always best to ensure that a professional goes round and checks that the structure and the boundaries and everything are in good order and will enable your lender ultimately to lend on it as well. Now, there are various different types of surveys that you can hire, anything from a full structural to just a mere valuation. And often it will depend on the nature of the property as to which survey you go for. A Grade 2 listed building, you would probably go for a full structural survey, as there's a lot more to look at and there are limitations with what you can ultimately do with the property. A brand new property which has the benefit of a 10-year NHBC guarantee from the builder, you know, perhaps you need a far less detailed survey, but your surveyor would be able to advise you on the options available and the costs, and I'm sure you will be able to choose the right one for you.
It's easy to get carried away at that point, isn't it, and kind of ignore the survey thing because you've seen the house you want and you're delighted with it and you want to buy it. But that's really good advice. Thanks, Nigel.
The next point is leading out of the survey. If there are any works that are identified, you know, get quotes from reputable tradesmen with the right accreditations so that you can budget for your purchase. Also, if you find that there are matters that couldn't have been seen reasonably on your initial inspection of the property when you negotiated the price, then that would give you an opportunity also to have a word with the seller and the selling agent. And, you know, if there's going to be a considerable cost involved, you know, to discuss with them the possibility of a price reduction or a contribution towards those costs.
Often the surveys bring up these things like chancels and you know, it's not just about the actual building itself, but sometimes the area around, isn't it?
It certainly is. And again, also in a survey, you will find that the surveyor obviously can't check everything, you know, so the electrics and the gas and the plumbing, if you have any concerns about those, particularly an older property, it is best to get those checked through yourself, particularly the boiler, as that can be quite an expensive item to have repaired, and it will at least enable you to know when you move into the property it's all in safe and good working order.
Okay, the next tip.
The next tip is to instruct your conveyancer nice and early on on in the process and complete all of their new client procedures. These will involve things like them taking details of your identity and also often will request money on account from you to enable them to carry out all of the various searches that are carried out very early in the conveyancing process when the seller solicitor has submitted to them a draft contract and details of the title. The important thing is to get the conveyancing process underway promptly, and this will again also give the seller comfort that you are a serious buyer.
That's a very important one as well, isn't it? Because a lot of the time these things can roll on and on and on, and then people get frustrated, they lose their trust.
Well, particularly in a chain situation where there are so many often, it is important that the momentum is kept up because, as you say, people can change their mind or just lose the will to carry on with the transaction. Because conveyancing transactions, you know, do typically take many weeks to go from beginning to completion. And, you know, if everyone can see that things are happening and everyone's genuine and serious about the move, then everyone can rest and allow the process to take its time. But when there's one party perhaps dragging their feet, then naturally those in the chain get concerned, and that's when sometimes doubts fall in.
Brilliant. So that's our top tips for buying. We're going to take a quick break now, and when we come back, we're going to look at it if you're selling a property from your point of view. So I'm here with Nigel Drake, the residential conveyancing partner, and we're looking at the top tips for buying and selling conveyancing. So we've looked at this from a buyer's point of view. And what about if you're selling your property, Nigel?
If you're selling your property, obviously the first thing is to hire a good estate agent to assist you with that process and to market the property and hopefully achieve the best price that can be achieved for it from a buyer in a good position to proceed. Moving on from that, then hiring a good conveyancer that can assist you start the process as soon as a buyer has been found and enable you to complete all of the various standard conveyancing forms, which are things like the seller's property information form, which gives information to a buyer about the property, you know, which boundaries belong, whether there are any guarantees with the property, whether any building work's been carried out, and also the fittings and contents form, which indicate what items you're leaving or taking from the property. These forms will form part of the contract pack that then go to the buyer's solicitor at the outset of the transaction and will enable the transaction to get underway nice and promptly. The draft contract submission normally signals from the conveyancing point of view the start of the conveyancing process, which will commonly in England and Wales take roughly 8 to 10 weeks from the submission of a contract to completion to be undertaken.
Okay, top tip number two for sellers.
If you've had any building work carried out to the property, such as removal of walls, interior walls, or indeed extensions or loft conversions, then it's very important to make sure that you have the necessary paperwork to hand that will normally comprise the planning permission where that has been necessary, or the building regulations consents that are issued by the local council to confirm that the work has met the requisite building regulation standards. So the completion certificate is particularly important. That will then give the buyer solicitor and of course the buyer and their lender comfort that the building work has been carried out to the appropriate standard.
So things like guarantees, Nigel, are really important.
Yes, absolutely. If there are works which have led to guarantees being issued, then naturally the buyer will be interested to see those and take the benefit of those where they can be assigned to them in case any of the works ultimately failed and a guarantee needed to be claimed under.
Sometimes do you have the guarantees have to be transferred from the seller's name into the buyer's name, don't they, for them to be valid?
That is the case. Not all guarantees require that to be undertaken. Some companies will allow you just to produce it as the owner of the property, but others in their small print require the actual assignment of the guarantee across and notice to be given to the guarantee provider within so many days of completion of the purchase. That is often a way which unfortunately the guarantees can be voided if that process has not been followed correctly.
So when we were talking about buying, you mentioned about boilers and things like that packing up. What's your top tip for gas and electric certificates and also windows? Double glazing is a big one as well, isn't it?
Again, it's important if you've had any window work carried out, window replacements or repairs to windows carried out, or you've had any work carried out to your boiler or indeed a new boiler installed, or electrical work, rewiring etc. carried out to the property, then it's important that you hire accredited tradesmen and that they issue you with the appropriate certification. So when you come to sell, you can show this to the buyer and the buyer solicitor to satisfy them that the work has been carried out to the appropriate standard. With windows, when you have a new double glazing, the window installer will commonly issue what we call a fences certificate, which states that the work has been carried out to the requisite building regulation standard. Again, with the installation of a boiler, you will normally get a gas safety certificate, and that will again confirm that it has met the requisite standards. Electrical work, the electrical contractor should issue you with an appropriate certificate, and again, these things will show up within the local authority search carried out by the buyer solicitor. So it's handy to have these to give to your conveyancer right at the outset, so when they're asked for them by the buyer solicitor, they can produce them to them, or indeed, if they can, they can submit it directly to the buyer solicitor right at the outset when they submit the draft contract and the seller's property information form and fittings and contents form, which we discussed earlier.
So in summary then, Nigel, what advice would you give to somebody selling their property?
Well, put yourself in the position of a buyer and think about what you would want to see, and you probably won't go too far wrong. Naturally, the buyer will want to be satisfied that everything is in order, and that's the be all and end all pretty much. Their conveyancer will look at the title and obviously satisfy themselves on that point. But in relation to the building itself, that's something which you can allay a lot of their concerns by giving them all of the necessary certification right at the outset, so that they know that you have kept your home in good order and that it would be so for them when they purchase.
And finally, just one more point, and the whole chain, you know, you might be buying, you might be selling and then buying. What about those early repayment penalties? Because there's something like that on the mortgage, isn't there?
That's something to bear in mind. If you are selling and you are just selling, so you're not linking it to a purchase, then you may need to be concerned about an early redemption penalty on your existing mortgage. So inquire of your lender, if you don't know already, the date when any such penalty may be expiring, because then you may wish to schedule your completion date till after that date, so the penalty has not been triggered. Normally, if you are linking your sale with a purchase, there's an ability to what we call port across that mortgage to your purchase property. So effectively, you keep that same mortgage product, and usually in that instance, the lender will then waive any penalty because you have in fact kept the product, just literally transferred it to a new property.
Brilliant advice as ever. And that's Nigel Drake, residential conveyancing partner here at our legal experts, Debenhams Otway. Thank you very much, Nigel.
Thank you too.